The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And there was something on the news this morning. We've talked about it before, and it was about the first baby born in this country. Maybe it's not the first baby, but it was... The first baby born with microcephaly that tested positive for the Zika virus. And, we've been a little suspect about that because never before had we seen or had been reported that microcephaly and the Zika virus go together until this last outbreak. Now, this person, they stated, picked up the Zika virus in Honduras. Now, the only way they can, in my opinion anyway, the only way they can make that connection between microcephaly and the Zika virus is to test every woman giving birth, either to normal babies or babies with birth defects, and see what the prevalence of the Zika virus is. You may find that there are a lot of women giving birth to babies that have the Zika virus and the baby was perfectly normal. So it's kind of, misleading. It's the way they like to create fear. And, it's like if we were to say that this person got sick and they drank coffee that morning, and it must have been the coffee. You know, we know that a lot of people drink coffee, they don't get sick. So, that just being associated with it doesn't establish cause and effect.
Dr. Slavin? Might it be possible that someone's immune system, their immune system has been overwhelmed, and therefore the Zika virus has more of a negative impact on their bodies? And, isn't there a wide range of people who have been infected with the Zika virus, and they recover as you recover from most all viruses?
I think that's true. I think perhaps there are other extenuating circumstances. They do say, for example, in the areas where the birth defects are prevalent, the ones that are associating with Zika, there are also other issues like exposure to toxic pesticides that are being used to kill the Zika virus, malnutrition, nutrient deficiencies. So, but if you follow the way the government works, it seems like they're taking this out of the playbook they've used before. Now, if you recall, just recently, the House of Representatives passed a bill that would provide $622 million to fight the Zika virus. But they say that's not enough. They really want $1.9 billion to fight the Zika virus.
It would be very interesting to see what the breakdown of that $680 million, how they're going to spend it, and why it is necessary to have the billion-dollar expenditure and how they would spend that.
Sure. Well, where's the accountability? For example, they did the same thing with SARS, with bird flu, with swine flu, with Ebola, or even the measles outbreak that they reported on back in 2015. And by the way, that measles outbreak, over 80% of the people that got the measles have been vaccinated for the measles.
So there isn't any vaccine right now for the Zika virus. And I heard a discussion yesterday that was very interesting, and they were talking about the blanket application of pesticides outside of an area of a known Zika outbreak leads to mosquitoes that are more resistant to the pesticide, and that a very much more appropriate way is to target very specifically an area of a known Zika outbreak and not do that blanket pesticide application.
Here's an example why putting the government in charge of things seems to be a mistake over and over again. And I'll use the example of the swine flu. In the case of the swine flu, the U.S. government ordered 20 million doses of the drug Tamiflu, and that cost $2 billion. So they wanted to be prepared to fight the pandemic that ever was. And here's the real problem. The drug has a shelf life of 3 years. Well, you know, all those drugs are expired, and now they're proposing $1.9 billion to fight Zika. They don't even know what they're going to do. You know, they don't have a drug. They're talking about a vaccine. Why don't they talk about perhaps strengthening the immune system of people who might be at risk, and that might be the only problem. It seems that the real issue here is the risk is to the unborn fetus. You know, the adults who get it really don't get very sick. It's always been reported to be a mild infection. In fact, many people get it and don't even know they're sick. That's how mild it is. So if anything, it's a danger to the unborn fetus, if indeed it is even that, because that's never been reported before. So, I mean, there are better approaches to this problem instead of to create this mass hysteria and, you know, want to protect everybody.
In the discussion that I was listening to yesterday, Dr. Slavin, with regard to a developing fetus, the World Health Organization has changed their recommendation. Do not attempt to conceive within 4 weeks, which had been their previous recommendation, 4 weeks after having been in a known Zika mosquito-infested territory, do not attempt to conceive. And the World Health Organization has gone and changed that recommendation with regard to conception to 8 weeks. So you can see that, again, in a very short period of time, there's a lot of conflicting information. What about the people who never hear about the change in the World Health Organization recommendations? What about the people who are, you know, very much following these World Health Organizations, but we don't, recommendations, but we don't necessarily know if it's accurate. But what that recommendation does tell us is that the area or the time span of harm with regard to an unborn fetus is truly unknown. The World Health Organization may very well be speculating with these 4 weeks and 8 weeks recommendations.
Well, here's an interesting statistic. Each year in the United States, there are 25,000 infants born with microcephaly. We don't have Zika in this country, so these cases of microcephaly are not caused by the Zika virus. Clearly, there are a lot of other possibilities to cause it, but I didn't hear the big outcry about those 25,000 babies born with microcephaly. You know, why was that not important? You know, all of a sudden, the Zika virus comes along, and everybody's concerned about the potential for these birth defects. But these birth defects have existed every year prior to this, and nobody seemed to be interested in it.
Well, because we didn't have a specific virus to point the finger at, and with this virus being unmasked, so to speak, you have the potential to offer a vaccine. And isn't that where a lot of the money is potentially being spent into the research into developing a vaccine against the Zika virus?
Well, I think that's what they've said. Probably two areas. One is to develop accurate testing to see who has it, and then perhaps a vaccine. Far more people are suffering from the effects of Lyme disease, for example. They don't have an accurate way of testing for Lyme disease. They have tests for it, but admittedly, they're not very accurate. They don't have very effective treatments for Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. But no attention is being paid to it either, in my opinion. It seems to be, it's just not sensational enough, perhaps.
The Lyme disease issue. Dr. Slavin, you are having a seminar event on June 11th, and one of the areas of discussion for that seminar is the UVLRX treatment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And would you say that there is a potential for neutralizing pretty much all different viruses? And we suspect that the Lyme disease is not necessarily caused by a virus, but some other microorganism. Might those microorganisms succumb to the UVLRX treatment?
I think it's a very good possibility for two reasons. One is, that type of treatment directly can kill viruses and bacteria, but it also at the same time strengthens the person's own immune system to be able to better take care of the individual. But that's not the only indication for that particular treatment. And I'll have to pass along that information after the break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is the licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with me is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we got into the topic of, and the term I like, the brand name is UVLRX, but it really is intravenous polychromatic light therapy. And what that means is it's the intravenous exposure of blood to different light colors, the ultraviolet light, red light, and green light. And we were talking about its effect on infections because we were talking about the Zika virus. Well, to give you a partial list of the different types of viral infections it's been shown to be effective against include hepatitis, HIV, the flu, herpes, both types, simplex and zoster, mono, mumps, measles, viral pneumonia, polio. And the reason it mentions viral pneumonia because they don't have a vaccine against viral pneumonia. All the vaccines are for bacterial pneumonia, for which it is effective as well. It's also for bacterial infections. It's helpful with wound healing for two reasons. It increases the blood flow to tissues as well as, killing bacteria. Its original use back in the between the 1920s and 1940s was to treat serious bacterial infections that would cause sepsis, a blood-borne infection, where people up to that time would be expected to die, and they introduced the ultraviolet blood treatment, and they were curing people. So I know when I say that to people, they ask, how come they stopped? Well, this is when the drug companies started taking over healthcare in this country because they convinced hospitals, for example, that it made more sense to use their newly developed antibiotics to treat these infections rather than continue with the ultraviolet blood treatments. Severe acne has been helped, E. coli infections, fungal infections like yeast has been helped. But the interesting thing is you have people with respiratory diseases that are helped, like asthma, COPD, bronchitis, because with a lot of these conditions, there's also an infectious component to it. Other conditions it's helped, inflammatory conditions like arthritis, bursitis, cholecystitis, a gallbladder attack, pancreatitis. Yes, Janet.
Dr. Slavin, so here are a wide range of different maladies that are very nicely treated with the UVLRX and no side effects. Is that an accurate thing to say that someone is going to have that treatment and they're not going to have any side effects? Like, we talked about the fluoroquinolone category of antibiotic drugs, and we talked about how those drugs can, months later, create a ligament and tendon disruption. And we certainly know that the antibiotics are going to kill the beneficial bacteria in the lower digestive tract. So is there any kind of response like that after having the UVLRX treatment?
No, but I would say on very rare occasions, you potentially could see a Herxheimer reaction. And okay. What that means is that's the effect of killing too many infectious components too quickly. So sometimes the patient might notice that they don't feel good from that, but most of the time there are no side effects. I'll give you another example. This one, I have a couple of examples that were really real eye-openers of just how effective this treatment is, because this is a new approach, introducing the light source into the vein, because the old way of doing it is we would take the blood out of the patient, expose it to the ultraviolet light, and then put it back in. So now you don't have to take the blood out. You can just put the light source in, expose the patient's blood to the various light frequencies, ultraviolet light, red and green light, and it seems to be extremely effective. For example, I had a patient with intermittent claudication, which means he had very poor circulation in his legs and could only walk for about 3 minutes before he felt pain. And after just two treatments, he was able to walk over 20 minutes without pain. So that's a clear example of how it improves circulation, because the pain is caused by the increased demand by the muscles being used for more oxygen, which is brought to the muscles by the blood. But it couldn't get there because of the narrow blood vessels. But after the treatment, the blood was able to bring the oxygen to the tissue, and you didn't have that demand. Another example, I think I mentioned this to you, Janet. Have a patient who years ago was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he opted for, as many people look for the treatment with the least potential side effects. So he had cryotherapy where they froze the prostate. And it was effective, because the way they can tell if a treatment is effective is that the PSA goes down to zero. Well, his PSA went down to zero, but it didn't stay there. It started creeping up again. And when it did, they did the treatment again. They froze his prostate again. The PSA went down to zero, but it didn't stay there. And he had the treatment a third time. And the same thing happened. It went down to zero. Then it started creeping up again. So we started the treatment, and that is the intravenous polychromatic light therapy, when his PSA was 77. And this is just recently. So I suggested he do a treatment once a week. And after four treatments, after a month, we would repeat his PSA to see, is this treatment having any effect on his PSA? And his PSA dropped to 44 from 77. So I think, you know, that's suggestive that it's having a positive effect. Now, why is that happening? We know that the treatment does two things. It kills infections, and it improves blood flow to the tissues. And maybe it's a combination of two that's helping the body take care of itself better. And maybe it's just really enabling the body to heal itself. So the patient continues to get these treatments, and we'll have an update in another month to see how he's doing.
Dr. Slavin, I happened to be in the room yesterday when someone was looking at a video with regard to testimonials about, I'm going to say UVLRX. You can call it the IV polychromatic light therapy, but I'm shortening it to the UVLRX. So I was looking at the video, and there was a testimonial with regard to someone who was left with severe nerve pain after a bout with shingles. And she had been dealing with this residual pain for, you know, a while. And she did the UVLRX treatment, and ultimately, I don't know how many treatments she did, but she said her pain resolved.
Yeah, that's a not too uncommon consequence of shingles outbreak, is that's what's called post-herpetic neuralgia, when you're left with this nerve pain even after the rash clears up. And she, like you pointed out, she said after one treatment, the pain went away. It took a day or two after the treatment.
Only one treatment. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay, does your office offer, you were mentioning both, both types of treatments. Does your office offer both?
Yes.
And do you make recommendations to people for one or the other based on their symptoms? How do you decide what to guide them to?
Well, my preference is the newer approach, being that you just put the light source into the vein as opposed to taking the blood out, only because sometimes the blood clots when you take it out. I think, and also just from a practical point of view, it makes more sense just to introduce the light source into the blood vessel as opposed to taking the blood out. And by the way, it's very simple. The light source goes through a standard intravenous catheter that people would be using to get IV therapy. So it's nothing major. It's very simple. But both treatments are effective. I think the difference between the two is that with the intravenous use of the light, you're being exposed to red light and green light as well. And I think that also may be what's helping the people with their circulation problems.
So a more comprehensive approach with this newer technology. How long does it take? How long does a treatment take? And do people need to do more than one treatment? Or would most people get results with just one treatment?
It depends. If you have an acute infection, like in its original use back in the from the 1920s to the 1940s, one or two treatments for acute infections, and the patients got over their infection. There is a testimonial on the website with the ultraviolet blood treatment, meaning the kind that you take the blood out of the person, where the practitioner said he used it in Africa to treat a rabies infection, and that took three treatments, and the patient got better. So it really depends on the severity of the illness as to how many treatments are necessary.
Wow, so what a dramatic benefit for people who would then not have to undergo those, what is the current treatment for rabies. Dramatic benefit to that.
Now, so that we're clear, they say in this country, we don't have a good treatment for rabies if you don't start the treatment before the patient becomes symptomatic. They say once the patient develops signs of rabies, there's a very high mortality rate. So it's very interesting that the patient was able to be cured of the illness. The seminar that you alluded to earlier on June 11th, starting at 10 o'clock, space is limited. What we're trying to do is just let people see firsthand some of these new innovations that aren't being taken up by mainstream medicine, because their whole approach is a drug-based approach. And anything that opposes that doesn't get treated or used by mainstream medicine. And that music means it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment, 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility, and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And Janet, as I was listening to that last commercial about the Institute of Advanced Medicine, I got to thinking, you know, how did we start off down this road probably close to 20 years ago. And it really started because I was witnessing failure after failure of mainstream medicine. For example, patients dying after bypass surgery in hospitals. At that time, I said, could there be any alternative to that approach that might have kept those patients alive? And that's when I looked into chelation therapy, probably now close to 25 years ago, over 25 years ago. So and then you find out chelation therapy really works. The patients get better. They didn't have to take the risk of bypass surgery. Or, of course, back then, they didn't have the stents really weren't being used. That came in afterwards. So then, all of a sudden, you begin to question all the information that we're being told. And then you start looking into it more and more. And I think that's why you say, if these treatments were so good, my doctor would tell me about them. Well, they're not questioning anything that they're being taught in school. They're being taught in school how to prescribe drugs primarily. They don't question the fact that the patient still gets sick while they're taking drugs because they're really not identifying the real underlying cause of their problems. They're just treating the symptom. So, over the years, we've introduced other treatments that have been shown effective in treating various illnesses around the world. You see, this country is primarily drug-based. What was it on Monday, Janet, that we talked about the fact that the yearly bill for health care in this country is $3 trillion? Yet
17% of the GDP, right. A huge amount, very much higher than the next closest country, what mm-hmm. they spend of their gross domestic product.
So what we tried to do on that show is say, okay, we're spending more money. We rank 36 in the world in life expectancy. The country ranking first in life expectancy is spending half as much. Now, someone, Janet, you got a text message that said, well, we're spending more because we have more people in this country. Well, that applies to the $3 trillion versus what other countries spend, but on a per capita basis, we're also spending twice as much money, about $9,000 per year per person in this country towards health care, as opposed to the number one country that's spending far less than that, probably closer to $3,000 or $4,000 a year per person, so less than half. So then you have to question, and nobody's doing. How come? And nobody's questioning why. Despite spending so much money on healthcare with drugs, with surgeries, with chemo and radiation, we're ranking 34th in the world or 36th in the world in life expectancy. And my answer to that question is it's because we're treating the symptom and not the underlying cause of the problem. But more importantly, we're really not doing anything to keep people healthy and preventing the diseases. It's been shown in study after study that these diseases are all self-inflicted. We're talking about, we can start with heart disease and cancer and diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. These are all self-inflicted diseases. And the doctors just sit by waiting for them to develop, and then they say, boy, I have a drug for you, and you just need to take this drug for the rest of your life, and you'll be fine. So that's not what we settle for here, because we know that we can prevent the disease, we can actually reverse the disease and get people off their medication. And, interesting thing happened yesterday. A patient, I'm not their primary care, so they came to me and they showed me the lab work the doctor did. And I did the standard kind of test. I did a CBC, a complete blood count, a serum chemistry. They even checked the vitamin D level. They did a testosterone, a urinalysis, a hemoglobin A1C. This patient is known to have diabetes. So I looked at the report and I said, what did the doctor tell you? The doctor said, everything is fine. And I got to thinking, everything is fine because the results, and there were plenty of abnormal results, didn't qualify him to be admitted to the hospital, so he was fine. His hemoglobin A1C, which is an average blood sugar over a three-month period, was unacceptably high. If I recall, it was around 9. His vitamin D level was 20. They didn't check his thyroid. They checked his testosterone. They didn't check his estrogen levels. His fasting blood sugar was high. They didn't look at his insulin level, because I told him, I said, you know, you're taking, he's on oral medication for diabetes. You're taking all this medication. You tell me you're watching your diet. Your blood sugar isn't being controlled. I suggested to him that maybe you've reached a point where you actually need insulin to control the blood sugar. But I said, before you can make that, come to that conclusion, you have to check a fasting insulin level. If your fasting insulin level is very low, your blood sugars are high, you're a candidate for insulin, and get off all those medications and address the insulin deficiency. Now, just so you understand, you can have normal blood sugars on the hemoglobin A1C, even a fasting blood sugar, and have high insulin levels. That's insulin resistance, and that's the condition associated with so many conditions that we want to prevent. But if you can't prevent something, if you don't test for it and identify it. So in the little seminar coming up June 11th, Saturday morning, starting at 10 o'clock, we're going to really show everybody the things that we've talked about on the program, like breast thermography, the cell well-being test, which is an unbelievable test that takes advantage of the technology that's available today. They're able to analyze your hair, because we will take out little strands of hair from the back of your neck, including the hair follicle, and then it analyzes that and is able to give you a complete report as far as how your body is functioning almost in every aspect. We're going to talk a little bit about the integrated genetic solutions. Now, this again is taking advantage of the latest information available regarding how to use your genetic information and determine what are the appropriate nutrients and hormone levels that you should have, so you can design a more effective approach to correct any of those deficiencies. We're going to touch base on a couple of things that are really important that utilize energy medicine, and that's the OndaMed and the Zytoscan, which can be very effective in identifying what's wrong with people. Again, looking to find the underlying cause of a problem instead of just treating a symptom with a drug. So we'll also talk, of course, about the ultraviolet blood therapies. And I think there was one more. Yeah, we have, and we're going to point out how important the BIA is, bioimpedance assessment, and that goes beyond the, body mass index. Because you could have two people with the same weight, and one person, so they both have the same and the same height. So if they have, so two people have the same height and weight, they'll have the same body mass index. But when you get into bioimpedance assessment, then you're going to determine how that weight is broken down into muscle mass and fat mass. So you can understand how you can have a highly muscled person weighing the same as a person with more fat, having the same body mass index, and yet clearly the person with the muscle mass is in a better situation regarding his health. So we're going to be able to show you that, how that's done with the latest technology. So you'll be able to see firsthand how you can utilize these things. Now, more importantly, it's really highlighting just how deficient mainstream medicine has become. Because think about it, you go back 50 years ago, and they're doing the same thing then as they do now. You know, they're doing CBC and chem panels, and then prescribing drugs. And they haven't really implemented any of the real changes that have become available to improve the health of people, and more importantly, with the information we have to try and motivate people just to make those little changes in lifestyle that would go a long way in preventing illness. So, you know, that's what we want to point out, and you'll get to see these things firsthand, because the information that you derive from these tests empower you and hopefully motivate you to make those little changes. And there's nothing better than seeing the results of those changes. Jenna, I don't know. I guess people feel good when they take a cholesterol-lowering drug or a blood pressure drug and they get tested again, and it's lower, and they say, boy, that's great.
I don't think they feel good, Dr. Slavin. I see all of the people who are dealing with joint pain. They can't walk. They have muscle pain, muscle aches when they're taking the cholesterol-lowering drugs. And if they talk to their doctor who's prescribed them, very often the doctor says, well, no, you know, you are such and such age, and we kind of expect that at that time of life you're going to feel a little aches and pains. And then the fatigue that people with blood pressure lowering medication, they are dealing with a lot of difficulty navigating the things in their lives that they usually did, the things that they expect to do, the activities that they expect to take part in. And their fatigue can be overwhelming, and very often it is either blood pressure medication, so the fatigue and weakness is one of the known side effects, or possibly they might be using an amount of that prescription medication that is not necessarily appropriate for their age and weight and so on. So, yes, they get the numbers on the test that the doctor, their physician is looking for, but unfortunately, they don't feel very well.
Well, that is true. But think of, if you think patients, they get that positive reinforcement when their numbers come into line based and when they take a drug. Think of the positive reinforcement that would occur when they change their lifestyle and you get those numbers back in line. I'm talking about your cholesterol, your blood sugar, your blood pressure. You know, all these things can clearly be reversed when you change or reverse the lifestyle that's been causing them to be abnormal. Right now it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we've been talking about the upcoming seminar, June the 11th, on a Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. Space is limited. You know, so far we've had a pretty good response. We've only started talking about it pretty much this week. So if you'd like to come, give us a call at 954-748-4991. Just say you'd like to attend the seminar. And I'll tell you what, you know, if a lot of, you know, if we have overflow, you know, we can't handle everybody, we'll do a follow-up seminar so we can get those people in at a future date. But we want to, you know, really tell people about these things because mainstream, you're not going to get it from mainstream. What you get from mainstream medicine is information about the latest drugs that are available to treat your condition. And I would say that, you know, that maybe that's a good approach, except when I look at the life expectancy of countries using far fewer drugs than we do in this country, and they're living longer. I say, well, we must be missing out on something. The drugs aren't the solution. We're spending twice as much money per capita for healthcare in this country compared to countries that live far longer than we do. And what do we have to show for it? And because nobody is telling the healthcare consumer that doctors call patients that there's a more effective way to get healthy and at the same time prolong your life, extend your life
expectancy. Very interesting, Dr. Slavin, because, okay, we're talking about life expectancy and longevity. But what I would really love to hear would be a little bit about what the last 5 years of life is like for those people with longevity in other countries. In this country, I believe the statistic is a very high percentage. I don't know what the percentage is, of healthcare dollars are spent in the last years of life. So we have a lot of medication, possibly a lot of procedures, a lot of care, hospitalizations, but the quality of life is not high. And yes, the life is extended, but it is not a desirable extension.
Well, I was just, looking up on Google, I was asking, why do other countries have a higher life expectancy than we do? And here's what they said. Monaco, with a life expectancy just under 90 years of age. Monaco, by the way, is one of the world's wealthiest nations. And their diet is based, or people consume a lot of seafood, which is a good source of omega-3s. Fish is a very important ingredient in their diet. The Mediterranean climate is great for the cultivation of fruits and vegetables. Also, French and Italian cuisine have influenced the diet of Monaco people. So they're eating the Mediterranean diet, and that's been shown to be a very healthy form of eating.
Olive oil is very, very high quality, and they have a significant range of different types of olive oil, different tastes of olive oil. So olive oil is an excellent addition to your diet.
Another country that lives longer than we do, Macau, their diet consists mostly of vegetables and seafood. If you like Asian food and fusion cuisine, you should definitely try Macanese food. Since Macau is funded by Portuguese, the original Macanese diet is a mixture of Portuguese and all Asian cuisines with the use of spices from all over the world.
Spices, I believe, are really high in the Portuguese diet.
So we're looking at, vegetables and seafood seem to be the staples in their diet. Now let's look at Japan. It includes an island called Okinawa. They're known for having the highest number of centenarians. That's people living over 100 years of age. And let's see, the Okinawans have 80% fewer cases of heart disease and cancer compared to Americans. So what is their diet like? They eat a balanced and light meals. They eat a lot of fish with a lot of ingredients that include antioxidants. They eat seaweed, leafy greens, and tofu play an important role in their diet. And then here's an interesting thing, and I'm not going to repeat, I guess it's the Confucian teaching, well, called Hara Hachi Bu, which means they eat until they're 80% full. That might be a good idea for everybody in this country. Think about that. Instead of eating till you're stuffed, stop before you get stuffed. That might be helpful. So far we're seeing the same thing play over again, over and over again, seafood and vegetables. In Singapore, they live 84 years of age. They're the interestingly, they have the world's third highest gross domestic product per capita. And their cuisine is diverse because it sort of represents several different countries. Again, it's a balanced diet of grains, fruits, vegetables, and lean meats. I wonder if you were to look at the number of fast food restaurants in these countries, what you'd find. Now, here's a country where the men live the longest, San Marino. But the average life expectancy is 83 years. This is one of those countries that you probably didn't hear about, but it's a small nation within Italy. And their cuisine is similar to the Italian cuisine. Lots of corn, olives, grapes, and wheat. And also vegetables, fruits, healthy fats.
Farmers have seen almost everything.
They didn't say much about fast foods yet. How about Andorra, living 82 and a half years? Their cuisine is a combination of Spanish and French. Sheep is a very common animal in this tiny mountainous country, so they have a lot of lamb in their diet. And this country also consumes lots of dairy products. So we're seeing a little variation in diet. So, Dan, I don't know, but my thinking is there's something more to just their better diet that helps them live longer. And I'm thinking, you know, it's the amount of stress in their lives as well.
Well, one of the thought processes that I have has to do with the idea that they are not necessarily spending as much time in their cars as Americans, that very often there is more of a sense of community and an overall cultural difference. An after-dinner stroll in many of these countries is very much a usual thing. So instead of being in front of a television set, people are out strolling in their neighborhoods and conversing and meeting with their neighbors. So, some pretty significant changes.
Well, a topic that you'd be interested in. The 10 places to move abroad and extend your life. So they mentioned Okinawa, they mentioned Andorra, which is a little country, again, between Spain and France. They mentioned Icaria in Greece. They say here, the people living in Icaria, mountainous Greek isle in the Aegean, reached the age of 90, four times the rate of the average American. And I think here's the other thing that helps people live longer. In these countries, too, I bet you they're walking a lot more. They're staying active a lot more than we do. And in this particular Greek country, or Greek island, their fitness is attributed to their activity level and unhurried lifestyle. Their diet is low in meat, fish, and sugar. And I think that's the key, too. You got to cut back on the sugar. And they have a lot of vegetables in their diet. So those are the, I think those are a couple of good recommendations today. Don't stop eating before you're stuffed, number one, and cut back on the sugar, and think about ways that you can increase your daily activity, because that's what all these countries have in common. Here's one, I think we're going to run out of time in a second, the Vilcabamba, you know, that's in Ecuador. There's a place there called the Valley of Longevity, and since the 1950s, this area has been studied because of their low rates of chronic illness and claims of living to 120 years. So again, it's eating fresh foods all the time and staying active and making sure you're not deficient in healthy nutrients and minerals as well. All right, that music means we've just run out of time. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.